Welcome to New Media Currents. I'm your host, John Houghton, and this is the second of a three-part interview with Michael Crane of Keynote Systems, where we discuss the latest trends in how consumers are using mobile devices. Let's join the conversation now, where we continue by discussing user-generated content.
A couple of the different carriers in Korea thought that they would ramp up the ability for people to watch television, etc., on their phones, which they did. Mm-hmm. And what they learned was very interesting. And the interesting thing they learned was the content, they thought it was going to be about an 80-20 rule. 80% of the content produced and delivered and purchased by subscribers would be from television, from cartoons, mm-hmm. ringtones, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And 20% would be other. Mm-hmm. And what they found after about 2 years is it flipped. It became 80-20 the other way, that people like producing their own content.
So this whole idea of user-generated content
turned them on their ear. They had no idea that this was going to happen. Hmm. And they're starting to see the same thing in Japan, that the revenues and the traffic was coming from individuals mm-hmm. and self-generated traffic, as mm-hmm. opposed to the other way around, people buying it and receiving it from manufactured means.
Wow. Well, it's a show why MySpace and YouTube are taking off.
That's exactly the point. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think you're going to see there's a company, I don't remember the name of it, but now they're in San Diego, and they're enabling you to produce your own television shows at home, and they'll serve them up and they'll stream them mm-hmm. To mobile devices and others. And so you could become your own television studio, mm-hmm. television station, so to speak. And it's broadcast quality. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing some things like that starting to happen. You'll see those go to your phones. Hmm. And maybe turn everything on to here, where 80% of the content produced out there is by individuals themselves.
Wow.
Like you and I talking here.
Yep.
So, that's kind of exciting. The world's largest carriers, this is just for your information, China Mobile being number one, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. Vodafone 2, China Unicom 3, mm-hmm. American Movil, which is based in South America. Mm-hmm. They serve South America, parts of Mexico, Brazil, Argentina. They also have the fifth largest carrier in our country, which a lot of people don't know, is a company called TracFone, mm-hmm. which is a prepaid service. Mm-hmm. And they own that. Singtel, Telefonica is number five. Singtel out of Singapore, number mm-hmm. six. Mm-hmm. Deutsche Telekom, seven. Orange, eight. Mm-hmm. And it goes on from there. Mm-hmm. I did some more research on a few things. I kind of looked at what are some of the different things that phones are being used for, and I thought I'd just throw these out here.
Sure.
Digital camera, right?
Right.
We're seeing things now. We're seeing 5 megapixel cameras now available on phones. You'll see those here in the next couple months, which is
that's a pretty high quality.
Pretty high quality.
Yeah
very high quality. So it's surprising, but and you're seeing video, motion video,
right,
on phones.
Right.
Obviously, audio recorders, video recorders, playback recorders. You're seeing TiVo now to your phone.
Well, if you can get TV service from Sprint or Verizon, you might as well be able to TiVo it.
You might as well.
on your mobile phone.
Sling Media, who's across the street here.
Sling, yeah.
Have a big push. Qualcomm's got a service called Media Flow mm-hmm. that we're all going to hear a lot more about. It's a pretty exciting service for doing the same thing. Multimedia messaging, email, web, gaming. Gaming's becoming, a huge factor in mm-hmm. determining, what's happening on these devices. Mm-hmm. A document viewer. You can actually store documents. My son actually strapped a cell phone camera to his bike helmet mm-hmm. and traveled down the trails in the Sierra Nevadas and came back and put together that with music and is selling on YouTube a small video clip of his biking experience. And you can download it for a penny.
It was taken from his cell phone.
Taken from his cell phone, taped on the top of his helmet. So,
wow.
Just something interesting. Computer adjunct. So you're seeing, these cell phones being used as small computers. We talked about that. music players. You're seeing that happening. You'll see iPods, MP3 players of different types. Television, we talked about that. You're actually seeing television broadcast quality being gathered in phones.
Mm-hmm.
India's got a project underway to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wallets. In Japan right now, you're seeing...
Kind of like Microsoft Wallet?
Well, when I say wallet, your phone is your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer have to carry a credit card or mm-hmm. cash. You carry your phone.
You can just zap, I guess, using Bluetooth or...
Yeah, they call it NFC, near field communication. So mm-hmm. Bluetooth, or you detect that you're close to something,
mm-hmm.
You can actually, if you've got money in your account or mm-hmm. your wallet, mm-hmm. which can be held on a server someplace by a mm-hmm. carrier, you can pay for goods and services.
Gives security a whole new meaning. You used to walk into a crowd and you'd be, have your hand in your wallet, but
yeah,
now
have it on your phone.
Now, well, have it on your phone or have your, you know the protocols and just be able to be savvy and protect yourself.
Yeah, I was playing golf in Germany, and we were with a group of people, and they had a code on the ball machine mm-hmm. for at the driving range,
mm-hmm.
and one of the guys texted in, you know, he bought a round of balls for all of us
mm-hmm.
by texting the small code that was on the outside of the machine,
mm-hmm.
and out came the balls, and his bill for that would have showed up on his phone bill, you know, that month.
Wow.
So...
I guess there'd be a big fight for who owns the wallet. Does your cell phone own your wallet, or does Microsoft own it, or
that's right,
Google, or
does Verizon? Is Verizon now Visa for
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's happening. Barcode readers. Mm. You're seeing in Japan they have a thing called QR codes, which are essentially 2D and even in some cases 3D barcodes,
mm-hmm.
and phones can scan those in, and you can actually purchase the item. You can get information about the item.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing them, you know, barcode scanners
mm-hmm.
and very sophisticated barcode scanners.
Mm-hmm. I guess RFID would be next.
RFID detection, exactly. So
those would be for the audience, those would be those little chips that you can put in, you know, items at the store that help
determine if it's fresh or it's spoiled.
Or also keep track of inventory locations.
Inventory.
In transit, or is it being checked out now and you don't have to have a barcode anymore?
Yes, another story that came out of Africa recently is in Africa you can actually transmit there's a whole small kind of cottage industry taking off where you can transmit prepaid monies with text messaging. So I could actually text to your phone
mm-hmm.
100 minutes of talk time.
Okay. So you can pay for things in talk time? Like,
yeah.
Let's say you get an accident in India, you got to pay for it. So I'll give you 20,000 minutes to take care of this.
Exactly. That's actually happening.
Really?
So, yeah, these minutes are becoming currency.
Hmm.
And they're trading those for goods and services.
Wow.
Instead of paying money, I'll pay you with minutes.
Wow. Well, maybe it'll solve inflation problems.
It might solve inflation. Yeah.
Because you'd have to watch the cost of the mint like you watch the spot market, though. It'd become an auction.
Yeah, so, you know, these phones are – it's amazing what you're seeing happen with these phones. I know some of the search capabilities. There's a lot of people that believe that search on a mobile phone is going to be greater and much greater than it is on the desktop.
Uh-huh.
And some of the reasons for that are what they call direct-to-consumer. So you can actually get a very targeted search to a specific individual about a specific item
mm-hmm.
Based upon where they're at.
Right, geographic
day.
Location. Let's say they walk into the mall and they see they're out in front of Macy's. Well, you can beam to them all the information that would be relevant to them as a shopper.
Yeah, based upon their location. And so it takes on a whole new world of search.
Mm.
In that you can be very targeted in your search. Your AdWords that Google's known for making all the revenue from can
right.
become very targeted.
Right. You know, I think 95 or 98% of the revenue comes from AdWords.
Yeah, and I think they should be nervous about, and I'm sure they are, and they've thought about it a lot, but
mm-hmm.
around their paradigm as they try to squeeze that into a device.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've found in looking at the number of clicks on a desktop versus number of clicks on a phone that people are willing to put up with to
mm-hmm.
get to that item are
mm-hmm.
much different.
Yeah.
You're willing to do a lot more on a phone, I mean a lot less on a phone than
right.
you would on your desktop.
Right.
So this direct-to-consumer takes on a whole new meaning for somebody like Google where their AdWords need to be very specific.
Mm-hmm.
People won't tolerate you know, I'll call spam words, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that.
Right, right.
So, you know, the use of the phone to actually do searches, while, like you said, in a mall, in a grocery store, on the road, looking for a location of something. Mm-hmm. You want to purchase something or save something or receive a specific coupon you've opted in for or mm-hmm. a discount on an mm-hmm. item that you're about to buy. Mm-hmm. It needs to be very exact. Mm-hmm. And so location-based services, I think, while they've been talked about for, you know, 15 years or so, will now start to take off because each one of these phones will have the ability to get you direct to consumer information mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. based on search.
Now, in terms of the geographic capabilities of cell phone networks, it's been possible for a long time to be able to triangulate a person's location
right.
based on which cell phone transponders they're near. Now, are cell phone companies selling that now to various companies? Because I think I see some capabilities coming up through that.
Yeah, well, for a long time there's been, you know, in the GPS area, there's a couple different ways to do it. Triangling off of satellites,
right.
which is classic.
But like a lot of cell phones, were, you know, only like half of 1% would have a GPS attachment on it. But just based on location and cell phone transponders, is that information... That is available to the cell phone companies, but are they reselling that or making that available to other service providers so that they can provide services?
There's a couple companies out there that work very close to cell phone manufacturers. A very interesting company in San Jose called Polaris Wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And they work a lot with the federal government and others in helping with this 911 initiative that's been
right.
out there for about better part of 7 or 8 years.
Right.
Which still hasn't been made commercial yet mm-hmm. Because of legal issues and whatnot. And what they do is there's a couple different ways that they can do this. They can do what they call time difference of arrival. So they do a calculation from the cell tower itself mm-hmm. and provide information. Or the other way is the classic satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Cellular companies are not in the business of actually selling where you're at
mm-hmm.
to other people. There's third-party companies that are providing technology that the cellular carriers are using
mm-hmm.
To help provide that information,
mm-hmm.
lost children,
mm-hmm.
different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they will also embed in, you know, the manufacturers of the phones themselves will embed the technology that enables you to be located or mm-hmm. be found
mm-hmm.
In the phone itself and allow third parties to actually collect that information and provide you with the information.
Mm-hmm.
So cell carriers are in the business of providing an application that will run on your phone that mm-hmm. allow that application to provide you with, you know, information
mm-hmm.
that's coming from a third party.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they've always known where you're at.
Yeah, well, there's an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal, I'm just remembering, it came out a couple months ago, talking about how third parties can buy information from cell phone service providers about, you know, what your call log is.
Yeah, you know, I was at Sprint recently, and I think this goes for any carrier, so I'm not letting anything out of the bag here, but the guys who are talking about Sprint said, we know more about our subscribers than they have any idea.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, they do know a lot. They know where you've been, mm-hmm. where you made calls, who you made calls to, who mm-hmm. calls come in from.
Mm-hmm.
If you've actually got a smartphone, where were you when you searched? What time of day was it?
Mm-hmm.
They know a lot about you. They know your race.
Were you speeding?
They know how fast you're probably going.
Yeah, how'd you get from San Jose to San Francisco in 15 minutes.
Yeah. You know, it's the Will Smith enemy of the state movie. These guys know a lot about your habits
mm-hmm.
and a lot more about, you know, the surroundings that you've been in. Where were you at certain times of day?
Mm-hmm.
They know things that you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not they can actually sell those or would sell those, I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
it's available and it's there.
I have to go back and read that article.
Yeah, it's a little scary in when you use your phone for these sort of things, and if you're not really wary of it, what that could be used for.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop and thought about it for a minute or two,
mm-hmm.
There's companies that actually will comb through your line by line in your phone bill,
mm-hmm.
and they'll do tens of thousands of people and extract that information. They can determine a lot about the habits of populations in general because they now have, and they also know every single line item of your phone bill.
Mm-hmm. Do some data warehousing on your communication habits.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's, and that's going to help with this direct to consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And I may opt in and say, you know what, I when I'm at the grocery store, I shop for certain products.
Mm-hmm.
I might opt in when I'm at the store.
Mm-hmm.
I want a coupon for that product.
Right.
But don't send me a coupon for any other product
right.
except for these two.
Well, I think one of the good things is that, let's say you're a certain demographic, and let's say you're a young person. Well, you shouldn't be seeing ads for geriatric products on TV.
That's right.
You know, or vice versa. You shouldn't be seeing. You should be seeing. You'd be a lot more interested in the ads if they're a little bit closer to point of sale, and also if they're more relevant to the specific attributes.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. That's why this mobile search is going to be so powerful with AdWords that are specific to you as a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be based on all sorts of factors that they get information from the carriers, as
mm-hmm.
you were mentioning,
mm-hmm.
Where you're at,
mm-hmm.
time of day.
You could upload preferences, maybe your shopping habits, like your Whole Foods or Safeway shopping habits. They know you like figs, and so they'll say, oh, you're near Whole Foods. Did you know that figs are in, you know, this, and they're not there very often, so you should go in and get them.
Right, like I don't like Granny Smith apples. They're too tart.
Uh-huh.
I like Golden Delicious, so...
Uh-huh.
When I'm in the produce area, and they can determine that, you can
mm-hmm.
determine down to only a few meters of where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easily done.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see, you know, the sale price on apples.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want Granny Smith. I only want Golden Delicious because that's
mm-hmm.
all I ever buy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of easy examples. I think if you're an elderly person, you may want to be... you know, the drug is ready at the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
I get text that specifically
mm-hmm.
only when I'm near the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have it when I'm anyplace else, when I'm at home, just, you know, based upon my location, it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can do some of those sort of things now. Rite Aid has a service that they're doing that with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these phones are going to be much more than just a communicator. They're going to be, you know, the thing we use to purchase items. We get... knowledge about the things we're purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see scanners where you actually can walk through the store, scan the good, and, you know, maybe I like to buy things that are only green.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to buy something that, you know, has CFCs or some level of, you know, carcinogen potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll scan that with my phone,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get the information. I'll determine whether I want to buy it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You'll actually scan that in your car and probably walk out of the store if you have, you know, the ability to buy that through your phone. You don't have to go to the counter anymore.
Hmm. So you'd scan in your car? You'd walk out with the goods? So as a supposed shoplifter, but you'd get to your car and then be the honest person and let
it be
scanned.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can see actually scanning the goods in your bag as you leave. You know, they weigh you when you come in. They weigh you when you go out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way some of these self-shopping
mm-hmm.
Platforms work today, but you can do the same thing with your phone. You don't have to go to the counter.
Oh, so... self-shopping platforms, they have scales and things? And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some places starting to try that have self-scanning devices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see it just, you know, where you carry the device throughout the store, you
mm-hmm.
scan the things into your cart, then
mm-hmm.
you go to a weigh station, you're
mm-hmm.
weighed, and you leave.
I guess that is a personal attribute.
It's a personal attribute.
To identify. And so if there's been a big change and you get pulled over, then you might have a lot of questions to ask or answer to the officer that pulled you over.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
They'll pull out the scale. Wait, is this really you?
they'll find you pretty quickly.
Say, no, I was exercising a lot last week.
Yeah, I think there's something I came across recently, which is this is for traffic. I think this is kind of fascinating. There's a
mm-hmm.
company here in the Bay Area in the Silicon Valley that actually works with this cell carriers. And they could help determine traffic by just looking at the, as we were talking about before,
oh.
the patterns of phones.
Mm.
And what they can do is look at, let's say, an area and just determine the speed at which phones are moving through
mm-hmm.
a particular piece of road.
Mm-hmm.
And they can actually determine, you know, traffic patterns that way.
Wow.
As opposed to embedding things in the roads today, sensors and things.
Mm-hmm.
They can do the same exact thing with phones.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing is they can do this on an enormously grand scale.
Hmm.
They can look at the entire Bay Area
hmm.
and build a traffic model for all the roads in the Bay Area.
Maybe they have recommendations like stay off of 101, take 280, or vice versa.
All that, exactly.
And be able to, it's like data packets going through the network. What's the most efficient route?
Yeah, because phones sit there and they register. Phones register the network. Say, I'm here.
How often do they do that?
It depends, but they're regulated.
Like every 30 seconds or something?
Not quite that frequently. Now, Nextel devices will do it that frequently, but others will be maybe every 15 minutes. They could be done more frequently. The technology that's in the networks determines how frequently you register. And it's usually determined on traffic load. In other words, how many devices are in this particular area. I want them to register more frequently because I can then regulate the number of calls that could take place in this area.
I know when the cell phones register that if I'm podcast recording and it's near one of the microphone cords, it'll cause a little buzzing sound.
You'll hear the buzz.
It'll show
registers.
Up in the recording.
You'll do that, yeah.
Sometimes I can track how often my cell phone checks in.
Yeah, and I think it depends. Here in the Bay Area, I think it's about every 15 minutes or less. At peak hours, it'll be more frequently during the middle of the night. Uh-huh. No reason to register that frequently. Save the power. But it's regulated up and down. Then your phone is also, the power levels of your phone are actually regulated up and down by the network itself.
So because it knows how far you are from the cell tower.
Well, and it
wants to be able to hit that.
Right, and if there's not a lot of traffic in that area or not a lot of users, you can actually be operating at a higher power.
Oh, I see.
And if there's a lot of guys, you don't want bleed into the other phone conversation, so to speak. And so the network will lower the power of your phone. So whether you know it or not, your phone is actually, you know, the power of that phone, the energy level, the output from the phone is being regulated by the network up and down. And so these guys have taken this technology and capability, and they're building these incredible traffic models just based on registration information coming from all the different carriers. And I've seen some of these models, and it's pretty fascinating. So,
well, that'll not only help with the short-term, you know, tactical, how do I get here from here to there, but also long-term planning, where do we need the freeways? Instead of counting cars, they can just take a look at one of these.
Well, and they can start setting, the on-ramp frequency rates and things like that for getting onto freeways. As you know, during rush hours, you're stopped for some period of time. They can regulate those now. And they're helping Caltrans regulate the speed at which those, you know, it's not always static. It can change based upon volume of traffic on a freeway. So has all kinds of neat implications on saving fuel and doing all sorts of things like that. So I think there's some real benefit to this technology that... it's just now coming out. They're making a commercial, I think, soon.
This is the conclusion of part two of our three-part series on mobile devices. Please join us for part three, where we continue our conversation.